Hey, you're hanging out with Leah on Sunshine's Table Talk. And today I'm very, very excited because our next guest, I tell you what, she's going to educate us, make us smarter. I'm talking about Elise Margot, who is a negotiation expert and mediator. Elise, welcome to Table Talk.
Hi, Leah. I'm so pleased to join you today.
I'm so excited to have you on because we're talking about a topic that I think it's close to my heart because I don't think we're very good at it, and that is learning to listen to other people's points of view, and especially with something big like the voice referendum coming up in a few weeks. There's a lot of divisive conversations, and it can be very heated. So how do we do this well? How can we listen to other people's points of view? Can you help us out, Elise? Can you help us be better human beings and take things on board?
I'll do my best, Leah. So I think the first point to remember is nobody owns the truth.
Oh.
And we don't know everything. And so if you start on the premise that I'm going to listen to someone, not necessarily because what they're going to tell me is something I'm going to agree with, but it's something they might say that I can learn from, that's always a good thing. So I like to say, to listen properly, I should try and clear my head of what I think.
Great.
And listen to someone, not trying to better their point of view, but just listen to their point of view. Because I think a lot of the time when we're listening to people, we're really listening to them to either hear them confirm what we already think or to contradict them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
we would just
when we start on that premise, we're already in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it was interesting, actually, we just were speaking to our finance expert here, Elson, talking about confirmation bias when it comes to our finances. But I find this is such an interesting point when it comes to listening to our other people's points of view, because we can be in an echo chamber, especially with who we have and follow on social media and what we watch online and everything. So it can be tricky because, like you said, we are just looking to be confirmed. How can we do that clearing our head thing? Do you have a tip that you do that's a way to focus in and really listen? Because I feel like active listening is such an art form.
Well, it certainly is. And I think for people, you hear the word active listening and you think, oh, this is some technical mumbo jumbo that someone came up with. But it really is saying, I'm just going to listen to you. So what I try and do when I'm listening to someone, and obviously in a negotiation perspective or when I'm mediating or when I'm talking to people with different political opinions than mine, is to say, I don't count at this point. You know, I'm just going to try and understand you. I'm trying to understand you, not me, not where I'm coming from, but where you're coming from. So I'm going to listen to you very carefully and I'm going to see where you're coming and I'm going to ask you questions based on what you're saying, not about what I'm thinking at this point in time. Now, obviously, there comes a point where you need to change that. You can't just be a sieve to take in what everybody's saying because then what's the point? But it's trying to say, well, look, I'm not here for you to hear about me. I'm not here for you to understand me. I'm here to listen to you and what you have to say. And for that moment, I'm just going to focus on your thoughts and how they fit together.
Yeah, great. I love that idea because if we focus it to be really about understanding a person and creating that connection, I feel like then it takes away that need to be right or to, you know, be like, oh, I need to inform you. I'm curious as well, as I use that language deliberately, because how much does being curious and cultivating a kind of a mindset or attitude to be curious in life and curious with people and having curiosity in conversations, how much does that play into it? And is that part of the strategies that people can use, is to be like, you know, go into that curious mindset of asking, oh, I wonder why, tell me more, you know, and have those open-ended questions?
Always, because here's the thing, you know, I come back to none of us own the truth, none of us have an absolute perfect understanding of the world or ourselves, in fact. And so for me, curiosity is opening my mind to different worlds, different views, different ideas.
Great.
And if you want to be selfish, to say, well, sometimes someone who I don't particularly like or maybe I don't respect might have a nugget of gold that might help me.
Yeah, wow.
That might make my life easier, that might guide me somewhere that I never thought of. And, you know, I live with people. If I surround myself with people that I agree with in my echo chamber, I might never find that gold.
Yes.
So better to be curious, better to open up to people you generally might not meet in everyday life, whose experiences you might not share, because with their lives and their experiences, they might be able to inform yours and make your ideas better. Or not.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, and you can you can filter it out afterwards as well. And I think this is such an interesting point and something that we need to remember, that you don't get pearls created without a bit of grit. So you need things that are disagreeing to you and cultivating new ideas in you. We've got to go to a short break, but Elise, when we come back, I want to get some more tips, especially as many people are probably going to be having more conversations around the voice, about how we can practically move forward. I have been chatting to Elise Margot, who is a negotiation expert and mediator and a past history as a lawyer with a wealth of knowledge to share. And Elise, I loved what you were saying just earlier about that nobody owns the truth. And this is such a fascinating way to approach conversation and discourse and conflict. Because I think it's very hard to get absolutes in this world. We all come with our sort of preconceived ideas and notions. And so that's a wonderful sort of starting point when it comes to be able to listen to other people's points of view. But I guess I wanted to move the conversation towards some practical tips now, coming, of course, with the voice referendum coming up in, I think it's about just over three weeks away. There are so many conversations popping up, I know, in my circles around how people are going to vote, what they think, what's their interpretation of the information they've received. Can you give us some tips if we are finding ourselves in these conversations and maybe they're getting a bit heated or people are very passionate or there might be disagreeing sides, how can we best approach these situations and how can we hold space for both ourselves and also the people that we're talking to?
So I think the first thing we should take into account is just as we want to be heard with respect about our views, others do as well.
Yeah.
And I know this is a topic where a lot of people will want to persuade the other to come to their perspective. But you can't persuade someone if you treat them with disrespect and you talk over them.
Yeah.
So in order to persuade, you need to be able to understand where the person is coming from. And so that's the first thing I say, you know, even if you were to take a Machiavellian view, as in, I need to persuade someone to change their mind. You're never going to change someone by being disrespectful, screaming over them, or believing that you are so certain about the fact that you're right that they must just follow you. That's never happening.
Yes.
The moment you do that, you've lost them. They'll stay in their corner.
Yeah.
The second thing is, this is a topic where there's a lot of misrepresentation about what is and isn't going on here, and it's very difficult to find your way. So part of that is to, as I say, clear your mind and listen to the other party with respect, listen to what they have to say, consider what they're saying. Doesn't mean you have to be persuaded to it, but also understand where they're coming from. So, you know, in order to persuade, I need to understand and I need to listen with sympathy and empathize.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is an important one as well, because if we don't have an opportunity to understand how people came to their point of view, we can't then hear and listen and understand why. And often people have come to places because of their experiences or their understanding or the research they've done. We've got to make sure we hold space for all of those sorts of elements. Do you find that this sort of stuff, obviously this is great in with the conversation that's happening in the world at the moment around the voice, but then how does this translate into, say, a day-to-day situation, maybe with a spouse or maybe with a teenager or something like that? How would you then bring it to that sort of level? I've gone in a different direction. I'm throwing you under the bus a bit there. But do you feel like it's very easily translatable and a great skill to be teaching to our kids as well?
Oh, it's invaluable, especially, you know, I think we were talking about social media, where people come in their echo chambers and they speak very harshly to each other.
Yeah.
And they're so convinced they know where everybody's coming from, and they own the truth, and they will practically call people fascists and Nazis and all kinds of things if you don't agree with them. That's the kind of dialogue we have on social media. But at home, we 24/7 with people. We have emotions, you know, in the workplace, or if I'm dealing with a stranger, there is something that might hold me back. But, you know, 24/7, I'm emotional. Someone might anger me. Something might have happened at work. It's harder to hold back and say, well, I really want to listen to your perspective. In the meantime, clean your room. You know? There's no empathy there. You need to clean your room. You need to pack the dishwasher. You're getting in the way. You're making me run late. It's very hard, you know, day to day to take that space. But I think it is important. Even within the home, you're going to have people with different views and perspectives to find the time to listen to each other. And that might be, I know this isn't very common, but, you know, making sure you have meals together, or at least one meal or two meals a week if you can't every day. And say, this is the time when we're going to sit and we're going to listen to each other. We're not going to scream over each other, but we're going to listen to each other and each other's perspective. So in those situations, you actually need to make the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry to cut you off, Felice. We've run out of time for this little break. We're going to go to a quick song. And if you've got a bit of time, Elise, I've got one more question for you I'd love to ask. Elise, before we run out of time with you this morning, I just wanted to close on how we can maybe practically actively listen. And I've heard before that part of active listening is repeating back what someone is saying. So say if they're explaining, you know, that this is why, say, they believe you should vote a certain way in the referendum, then maybe you would say, so what you're saying is you believe that you should vote this way because of XYZ. Is that one of the best ways to sort of make you engaged so that you do clear your mind, as you said, so you're not thinking about your next, you know, point and you are actively listening? Or is there a better way?
Well, that is one of the fundamentals of actively listening, because if I have to repeat back what you're saying, I've got to be listening very carefully, right?
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. If I'm thinking of my next point about how I'm going to counter what you're saying, I might not hear 90% of what you're saying. So it definitely is helpful and to listen and then repeat back, but in a way that's respectful, because it is the manner in which you repeat back that makes the difference. Right. You know, if you repeat back going, oh, well, yeah, this is what you said, that's not going to get very far. But if you listen and say, well, this is what I understand, and while you're repeating back, because you're repeating back what the person said, you're also contemplating the merits of what they're saying.
Yeah, okay.
So it gives you time to think about what they're saying. Is there something good? So, for example, you could say, well, I can understand why you're a little bit worried about the effect of something sitting in the Constitution. Do you understand how constitutions work?
Yeah, okay. So you're
asking more questions,
their knowledge, where that comes from and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so you're not just accepting in the repeat back, unlike when a mediation, that's another story, but in the repeat back, I might be questioning more of it just to see and test where the person's coming from.
Right.
Is the worry well-founded? Have they done research? Do they know where it's coming from? Or is it something I've heard, well, someone told me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Who is so-and-so? What is their knowledge?
Yeah.
How does that go?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a great
And then it
point.
Helps you frame, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's such an interesting one because I think, yeah, once we want to be in that point, then yeah, you have to be able to deliver in a way that is not trying to be like, oh, well, well, where's that person? How do you know that? But and to be, no, I generally want to know, and that if that means that you don't get your side across or your point or whatever, then you have to be probably okay with that too, I suppose. Do you? That it might not, it might come down to, you might not be heard, or you might not be able to get your point in the end if you are truly listening well, in a situation.
Well, if you're good at it, you most probably will be able to get your point in, but you'll be able to get it in a point where the people are already engaged in what you have to say.
Yeah, right.
So the whole idea of it is because I've listened to you and I've queried you, and I've thought through what you're saying, I can then put my point across in a way that you will hear me.
Yeah, okay. Because then there's respect built, there's a space created for each person's opinion, and then you can both be heard in that space. Is that sort of the idea?
And then I'm most probably going to be more persuasive if I can. I mean, in talking, I might think, well, I understand where they're coming from, and their perspective is a legitimate one. It's not something I don't follow that line of reasoning, but it is reasonable for them to be there. And I can say, I start with, I understand your reasoning, but this is why I do not follow that line of reasoning. And I can then frame my answer and my persuasion in a manner that makes sense of where they're coming from. But,
Yes.
yeah,
There's a big
there
but.
is a
Sorry, there was a
problem.
big but.
Sometimes we can't agree.
Yes,
You know,
exactly.
sometimes it just is that, if we all agreed with each other, we'd be very boring. So,
Yes.
and I don't mean to belittle something as important as the voice, because that is something very crucial and very important. But sometimes there are very reasonable grounds why people can't agree with each other, and that's okay.
Yes.
As long as it's reasoned and well thought through and not bigoted or, based on hatred.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I tell you
Yeah.
what, we've run out of time, Elise, for our conversation this morning, but I've absolutely loved chatting to you all about how we can learn to listen to other people's points of view. And I tell you what, if we can do this, we'll be making the world a better place, one conversation at a time, which I think is a very good goal to have, and I think it's achievable, Elise. But thank you so much for joining me on Table Talk this morning.
It's a pleasure. Lovely speaking to you this morning.